This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome back to 96.9 FM Guardian Radio, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 28th of June, 2021, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. And let's get it started. Did you miss the opportunity to save on your real property tax during the first round of the Real Property Tax Forgiveness Program? Well, the program has been extended. Remember, Bahamian property owners can take advantage of waivers on their real property tax in one of two ways. One, bring your account to zero. Or, two, get a payment plan. Foreigners can receive a 100% waiver on surcharge. This offer ends August 31st, 2021. For further information, email rptforgive@bahamas.gov.bs or call 242-225-5778, toll-free. This message is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. To my Facebook audience, I'm afraid I am unable to get my live feed going right now, so hopefully during the break I can get it up and running. To my listening audience, especially my most favorite neighbors, Mr. and Mrs. Raccoon, I got your notice this morning, and yes, I am checking with the Department of Inland Revenue to make sure that the real property tax on my house is and property is paid. I would hate for me and my family to get evicted, causing you and your family to get evicted. And I really appreciate you looking out for me, Mr. and Mrs. Raccoon. That's what neighbors is due for one another. We look out for each other. And so, it is with great dismay that I have to share with y'all that I spent the weekend being inundated with stories. Inundated mean like flooding, like how Bay Street, when it rain and it's high tide at the same time, the place get inundated with water. With stories about agricultural theft. And in fact, over this weekend, I heard at least four new stories about agricultural theft. And we're talking about large-scale, like commercial theft, theft from commercial enterprises, farms that are set up specifically to sell their product to the market. Some people even trying to export product out the country. So smaller instances of agricultural theft with people breaking into homes, breaking into yards, thiefing things. But what was disturbing, I'm not sure if I mentioned this last week, was watching a video last week of a young man and a young woman stealing coconuts from somebody's yard. And again, that was troubling. The fact that they allowed the license plate to be clearly captured on video, which could easily lead to their apprehension. They allowed their faces to be clearly captured on video that could lead to their apprehension, right, was the commentary from people online watching the video, right? And the people watching the video are declaring that this ain't even a crime. That going into somebody onto somebody's property without their permission and taking their coconuts or produce things in their yard without their permission is not actually a crime. And that is the troubling part. See, remember when we were growing up and the old people used to say, a liar is a thief and a thief is a murderer? And I look at my Grammy and say, it was just 25 cents, Grammy. I don't understand. Am I going to jail for murder? But I'm older and I get it now, right? I get it now. A liar is a thief and a thief is a murderer. You're not just breaking onto somebody's property. You're violating their sense of security. You're injuring them psychologically. And while you think taking two coconuts, taking three, five, ten, clearing the whole coconut tree, right, isn't really a big deal. The idea that at any point in time when I'm supposed to be safe and secure on my property, somebody may jump up and decide to be bold enough to come onto my property while I'm there and take my things and possibly challenge me for my things. And the people watching would have the audacity to say to me, but it's just things, you shouldn't fight them for it. But it ain't just things. It's a boundary that you're crossing, that you're disrespecting. And what about the elderly people, the older and more vulnerable people in our society? What are they supposed to do? Just sit back and allow young, desperate people to terrorize them? This agricultural theft thing is a massive, massive deal. And for the people who think I just thief in a little mango, I just thief in a little tamarind, little guineb, a whole coconut tree. I had my gas tank stolen, right? I couldn't believe it. The place where it was located, surely somebody would have heard it happen. The gas tank was stolen. And 10 months later, the gas tank was stolen again. Another one stolen again from the exact point. Right? And it isn't no play gas tank. It costs plenty of money to replace the gas tank and then to fill it. And all I could think is, why would you think you could use my house, my yard, as a shop? Why do you think you could time it? Like, they timed it. They knew when the gas tank was most likely to be empty, so they would reduce the risk of killing themselves when trying to move it, but also make it easier to move because it's lighter, right? But if you do that, what are you going to do next? Are you going to take the cars? Are you going to come into the house and look and see what you could find in the house? It is not just agricultural theft. It is more than that. It is psychological violence, as well as economic, right? I mean, even call it economic violence because I don't think that money is that important. But certainly, it is a massive economic problem that needs to be addressed by the powers that be. And if we are serious about food sovereignty and food sustainability, then we have to be serious about the agricultural sphere, that landscape, and we have to be serious about policing it and providing the people in it the resources that they need. We purchased a number of drones a couple of years ago, and for the life of me, I can't figure out why we're not using the agricultural sector as a pilot for the drone use so we could create programs that work, small programs that work for specific issues in specific areas. It is just madness, people. Just this morning, somebody told me the story about how they had to clear down 9. They had to pick all the mangoes off of 9 trees, regardless of what stage they're in, because the quote-unquote Joneses, right, the substance abusers, the social disruptors in that community refuse to leave the trees alone. They refuse to follow the instructions provided by the family members that maintain the property. They refuse to wake with the people who trying to wake with them. But you know what it is to clear down 9 mango trees? Whether the fruit is ripe or not, you know how much money that is to be wasted? You know how much food that is possibly going to waste? All because some of them don't care to be a part of a system that we are all a part of. Here I am, I just upset about 2 raccoon and about 4 little by them from down the road, you know, who I even can't be upset at because they deserve nice things too. And their parents don't own no property to grow no mango tree, so I get it. But you guys who are trying to make your living off the backs of others through theft and agricultural theft, it can't work. I see we got a caller on the line. Caller, you are on the clock. Good morning.
A godly day to this docky on the way, so along with you, Aaron, Pretty Ag, Brain.
Now listen, Mr. Bremen. Look here. First of all, good morning to you.
Oh, much the same.
Second of all, I appreciate how you always try to share the light in this dark universe and give everybody something positive to think of. But Bremen,
hey.
I got to tell you something. You guys stop cracking jokes on me, you know.
No, I'm not cracking jokes.
Look here. The joke you crack on me on Friday, I was stunned. I said, this bike, I had to go home and sit under the mango tree. It took like 3 mangoes for me to get it, you know.
You are loved.
Thank you.
Generally.
Thank you. But I said, I had to sit on the 3rd mango. I say, hold on. Bremen blind, though. Bremen is seeing impaired. But Bremen obviously could see the light.
Genuinely.
He could see the light in my eyes.
Genuinely, you are loved.
So I say, look how this boy going to crack a joke on me, hey? But I ain't going to crack a joke on you, Bremen.
I can do that.
What I can do is I can remind the people, right?
Uh-huh.
That there are special people amongst us. If we don't take the time to value the people that we have amongst us, we'll miss the gifts. We'll miss the valuable things that they bring, that they are here for, right? Sometimes we think people value based on money. If they can't bring no money into this family, then they can't have no say.
Some people are missing it big time.
Absolutely.
Lots of people.
Absolutely. Now, some people are missing it because they stress out. And we know why they stress out. But a man like you, who doesn't have what we call traditional vision, could put his hand into the ether and pull out just the thing that people need to hear?
Well, I try to, you know, because, you know, life is short, and, you know, all of us here on this side are for a reason, and if you don't know your reason, then you're in a tough situation.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you're frustrated and you never know why you don't feel whole.
True.
And you tend to think that other people holding you back.
No, it's just your evil thoughts. You know, your immaturity in which you are, you know, clothed with.
Absolutely. Well, look here, Bremen. I thank God for you. Because, See, sometimes I get big and mighty. Sometimes I feel like I's the funniest person on the world and ain't nobody could crack joke on me. But you stay cracking joke on me,
no,
and the sweetest
really,
joke, man. No, it's the sweetest joke.
I got you.
I like them type of joke, man.
But you're still loved.
Thank you,
Bremen.
I tell you what, you be careful because you don't wish marrying me or no man out there. Oh, Lord, pray for the man them who decide that they're going to marry me.
Well, you, they would be fortunate.
Yes.
I think they would be fortunate. Because you are you and you are a loving person and you got understanding and you have good understanding, beautiful understanding.
Thank you, Bremen.
But my main reason for calling, right?
Yes, sir.
You talked about somebody carrying your gas tank.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, somebody took my gas tank before, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I walked into my house. And they had just moved it, right?
Yeah.
And the house was stink with gas. It's a good thing. I never used to smoke because if I used to smoke and walk in there smoking,
yeah,
I'd have been lit a fire.
Absolutely.
And just recently, you know, I was up like around 2 o'clock, 2 something, one morning, I think it was week before last or so. And I just decided to go around the store to fix me something to eat. And I got this person trying to move my gas tank. And I shouted at them because I was right to my back door.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Do you live here?" And they ran. So I called the police. And before the police came, I heard the person walk into calling one of my neighbors, you know, to try to get into the house.
Yeah.
Because they live in that yard, you know. So our people are dangerous. And the person would talk about things, right? It's mm-hmm. only things. If it was their things, they would have carried on for it.
Absolutely.
You know? But because it's not theirs, you know,
mm-hmm.
they find it, you know, reasonable to say anything that are not need to be said.
Absolutely.
But, you know, in spite of all, be encouraged and keep yourself protected.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
You're
and see, fine. It's this question of is it just things is very important. See, we are about 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks away from our independence celebrations, right? And I have all kinds of questions I want to ask us and I want us to think about as we lead up to independence. But this thing of, is it just things, right? What belongs to the collective and what belongs to the individual? And have we answered that question? And do we need to answer that question before we could say we are truly independent nation? I see we got a caller on the line, Arlington. Hey, good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron Green. How are you doing?
I am good, thank you.
Man, every time I hear you talking about that migrant thing, but it's got so much inspiration, especially the hairy ones, and you describe them good.
Now,
I never taste mango taste so good in my life. That mangola is a joke. I just wonder why people get that mangola.
It's a class thing, right? It's
cultural
imperialism.
You know that, but I mean, like, if they only understand how powerful the hairy mango is, they're talking about, I mean, like, the best thing you could ever eat.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And the premium flavor. Like, the thing that we scorn the most is the thing that has the greatest potential for industry.
You know that the same flavor, that's a better flavor than the mango. The mango.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's a premium flavor.
You know that. You know
any
that.
Any person who is considering manufacturing mango products, right, have to start with the hairy mango.
Don't give away all the trade secrets. So they look at in this country, we look at a lot of things and just look at it and we trash it, you know. But mm-hmm. in reality, when you look at things and you really research and find out really what it's for and the purpose to say, well, to bring that into a business, you know, that's where it's at in every aspect of life.
Mm-hmm.
But Aaron.
Yeah.
Yeah, Yeshua is rather paradoxical this morning. One of the greatest paradoxes. Birds plant the best trees. You know that, right?
Yeah.
They navigate perfectly across the sky and they drop it, right?
Uh-huh.
And they drop it right in a diverse situation. I'm talking about diversity,
mm-hmm.
where you get them off all the proper other plants in that location where you will have no bunches, no bugs, white fly, no nothing. It just comes up and manifests.
Right, the bird pepper, the cherry tomatoes, birds drop always the best.
Everything, different birds drop different seeds.
Yeah.
And that's how we get these different like plants from different like say, well, how come we got this plant in the Bahamas when this is only in America?
Mm-hmm.
You know, birds like they navigate and they travel far.
Yeah.
And when they do their droppings, they may eat somewhere probably even in China, you never know. And they travel, and then they drop it on the soil, and it grows amongst the trees, and it's perfect because, I mean, it's like it's accepted, you know.
Right.
But, you know, the paradox this morning with your show with the you grow and someone else harvests, right?
Uh-huh.
It's paradoxical, and it's the biggest irony because when we look at us as a people, I can say the government or nothing, us as a people, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we allow some things. And we say, okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. Now, we plant our trees, and other people ain't even contributing nothing. They come around, they watch your stuff, and they pick your fruit, and they look at you, and they be laughing, and they collecting the money. But the paradox what I'm talking about, I mean, is a parallel. When we look at persons coming in our country illegally, it's the same thing. But we turn around and say, so and please don't hang up, I ain't saying derogatory.
No.
We say it's okay. And, you know, well, you know, the seeds are the children, and we legalize it. But, like, the trees would be planted. They're legal, but persons steal it. It's illegal.
Oh, man. Carla, now listen. Oh, you back. You there. Good. Keep going.
Yeah, no, this is not a crime. But, I mean, like, we must draw it straight across the board for what it is, man. Because, I mean, like, it hurts a lot. Because, I mean, like, even when I planted, like, fruit trees on my lot, right?
Uh-huh.
And these trees are growing, I pour and everything, growing and everything, nice and everything, and someone come right there and teeth up my things. That is hate.
Oh, boy, look here, it does
hurt. That is hate, man. That is hate.
It does hurt.
You know, and you know what? You know what? Let me show you something. You know what it's hate, too?
Yeah.
I planted 44 pigeon peas trees, right?
Uh-huh.
On the side of my yard, right? And I tried to isolate the area from persons walking through.
Yeah.
The person's feeling it's all okay to walk through. And I tell them, man, look here. You know, I doing this because I'm trying to grow. I have my fever grass and other things growing. But, you know, people don't have a respect when you're growing. They don't want to pull a weed. They don't want to plant a seed. They want to walk through.
And don't pick up no trash as they walk in. Either.
You know that, deeper than that.
Yeah,
yeah. You, they don't care nothing about their trees. And then, you know, months later, only two trees living. What do you think about it? How does that feel?
Look,
I mean, it's for all of us, you know.
I agree. I feel you. Thank you for drawing that parallel because I thought you was going in a different direction
No, man. It really hurts, man. It really hurts, man. Because you know what? Ain't everybody could plant a seed and grow to take care of it.
Yeah.
You know, life is a serious thing. Just like people like have children, and you know the children. You know what? They can't see them children. That's them. If that's them, but look at how you feel about you. You feel about them, boy, and that's life. And how you, when you plant a seed, I mean, like nature. I tell you the word of life. I mean, people say, I mean, like I hate God. I love God, right? I love nature, boy.
Yeah.
Nature's so terrible. Let me show you something. I don't need no company, no friend, or nothing. You know, I get up in nature and think, you know what it's be for me? It is be an adventure beyond. Like when you go to bed and dream.
Yeah.
You know, dreams up in your head in your bed. Never be manifested in this real world. Indeed, that's the perfect, right?
Now, look here, I gotta go to a break. But before I let you go, let me say this. I appreciate the paradox that you pointed out to me,
man,
right?
Yeah,
and it's a great way for people to understand how people are feeling, right,
in the migrant situation.
I thought you was going to say, how could I be policing the trees and the birds could have planted the trees, right?
Yeah, but then see when the bird planted the tree and they drop on your lot and think that's your lot and that's your tree and deeper than that, right? That tree, that same particular tree, that would be one of the best trees in your yard.
Yeah, but is it my tree, really? Can I stop the birds and the raccoons from eating that tree?
No, and how do we
I was saying thank you because you opened up some new questions, right? A new perspective. Because I was linking this in my mind, all of these conversations about agricultural theft and how we think about ownership, right?
Yeah.
How we think about ownership of things, of land and of things.
Mm.
And are we ascribing a concept of ownership over things that cannot be owned in that way, right? Like, can I own every mango? Can I say that every mango on that mango tree should be mine? Can I pick them all? Can I Can I protect them all from the rats or the raccoons or the birds? And why should I?
But see, when you talk about the raccoon and the bird and all, and see, that's why, you see, when I look at nature and you look at it in the whole and complete, right? You know what? In nature, right, there's always predator and prey. The rats, let's be your cats, okay?
Yeah.
The snakes and things deal with rats. The centipedes, you got centipedes, you got roaches, okay? Predator and prey. We got to understand, but you see, we don't take time to understand these things, you know. And when we do something, in closing, right?
Yeah.
When we let nature be what nature's supposed to be without our intervention, nature is at its best, okay? And humans feel as if once we get in there, we can do this and do that, or we can plan to do this and we can do that. You can't do that.
Boy, look here. Listen, you have fueled me to expand my perspective on what independence means in the 21st century. Because normally we come at it through a political lens, right? Like, are we free from the motherland, from Britain? Are we free from the
government? That ain't the point. Let me tell you something. I think like this, right? Okay. Now, I have a plan, right? But I ain't going to expose my full plan, right? But listen, yeah. In my mind, right, I thinking about, okay, I go on my lot. I'm going to go do something, right? Every aspect of what I'm going to do is going to be, I'm talking about, to serve a purpose and also right. to supply, to meet Satan, like to say, storm. I don't care what come along because guess what? That's the way we got to think. We got to think about storing our water. I'm talking about in mass, okay? We got to think about how we could bring that down. We could think about electricity. We could think about, you know what? Then we could come, and you know what? When I look to build my building, you know what? I ain't looking to buy one window. You know why? Because, you know what? I already planning, and you know what? I only get in the screen, and I'll be able to see out and everything, and I'll get circulation and everything, and you know what? My building will not even be, I have no air conditioning, and probably not even no fan, because guess what? When you understand certain principles and things, you apply it.
Absolutely.
When you apply it, you live in it, and guess what? You start to live really green, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Paul.
We need to be.
Absolutely. I got to go. I got to dash. I got... Arlington, is that caller? No? Okay, cool. Thank you, caller. And thank you for your patience if you're calling in. Got a couple issues with the phone line. The technicians are working on it as we speak. So thank you for calling in. Stay tuned. We're going to a little break. And when we get back from this break, continue trying to call in because I'm going to take your call and we're going to talk about what's in the news. Stay tuned to 96.9 FM. We will be right back after this break.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the solution. Sponsor On the Clock with Erin Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021 for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The one, the two, four, two. The count depends on you. So tell Tita, go tell Bella. Mark it down on your calendar. Since it's 2021, this one's for everyone.
Crystal Cruises is setting sail for the Bahamas once again. Crystal will follow the strictest safety protocols as guests travel to Exuma, San Salvador, Long Island, and more. With a commitment to keep communities and guests safe and protect the environment, Crystal's decision to home port in the Bahamas will boost tourism and support the local economy. Learn more at crystalcruises.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green on 96.9 FM Guardian Radio. I want to say thank you to my last caller. I really appreciate the shift in perspective that you added, right? Independence, we got a lot to talk about this year. I think this may perhaps be the most important independence we have celebrated so far, right? And we got a little time to get together and have the conversations we need to have to decide how we're going to celebrate it, what we're celebrating, and why we're celebrating. Let me get back to some texts here. First text, good morning. My 75-year-old uncle, my uncle got in the world of trouble after a thief decided to go in his neighbor's coconut tree. His whole life went downhill. He was facing prison time, and in the end, he was killed in 2020. The police actually shot him 13 times. The thief is still at large. Then the PM gives them a license to continue the robbery of other people's coconut trees and fruit trees. It's like the government don't know the dangers of telling people you can sell something that does not belong to you. Well, what it is the government forgets the importance of creating regulatory frameworks for industries and spaces, right? I agree with you. You can't tell the boy them they could just sell coconuts until you have a system to verify what they call it provenance in the fancy world. But you need a system to verify that the coconuts were purchased and not stolen. And you know how easy it is to buy a receipt book, gentlemen? You know how easy it is? But think about this. What we could be doing is we could be focusing on creating a national inventory, creating a mechanism that young people, particularly those who are financially embarrassed or disadvantaged at this time, could find temporary employment participating in to locate, clean, shave coconut trees. Just in case y'all don't understand how the potential wealth involved, you could be making bowls, you could be making tablecloth holders, spoons, jewelry, other functional pieces of art from coconut shells. You could be taking the leaves and plaiting them to make mats and hats and clothing. You could take the coconut cloth, the fiber from the bark of the coconut as it's growing, and you could turn that into cloth for clothing or for book covers, right? Fancy folders from meetings with international partners and things like that. You could be using the water, the jelly coconut, the tender coconut, the firm coconut, the dried coconut. You could make baking coconut oil. There is potential for industry. If we stop looking for the quickest lick, if we stop treating everything like the Coke game and trying to get a hit and win, and we have examples of people who have been assisted, given permission, an incentive to get something established, and they ignore it because they don't want to throw the trash 3 feet away from where they serve the coconut water. Also, why you think you could be selling people coconut water at the prices you sell them at, and you don't have any mechanism to wash your hands? It is 2021, young men. Y'all got to be smarter than that, man. I got another text. Brayman for the win. I needed that joke. We all need that type of light. You see, that's the type of joke I love because it come with love with it. Another text. Hey, Aaron, if it ain't too bad for the stealing of the... It ain't too bad for the stealing of the fruit. However, I'm afraid the stealing of the fruit is an easy gateway for the stealing of other more valuable things from your home. I agree with you. I agree with you. People feel comfortable. They feel like they're safe. They feel like they could get away with it here. And so when they're even more desperate, they may be pushed to take it a step further and go into your house. Now, typically, Bay Minty ain't really trying to meet you while they're on the job. That's typically. But desperation could do some strange, cause people to do strange things. Produce from your land is income. Even if the produce falls to the ground, the fertility of the soil will benefit and increase the potential for future income. That's the next thing. If you think you out here on a hustle and you struggling, and that means you warranted and thiefing from other people, what about the people who may be using that little bit of fruit to make some money? If I tell y'all how little fruit is required to start a lemonade business, but y'all don't believe me when I tell y'all. Arlington, is a caller online? Oh, great. Let's get to that caller. Caller, you are on the clock. Oh, I am sorry I missed you, caller. Well, look here. I have an important notice that I want to make. And it's sad news, but we're not going to be sad because we're going to celebrate. I want to share condolences with the family of the great priest and teacher, Zebulun Anafu Frafra of Ghana. And I'm not sure I'm saying that properly. I hope I am. But I want you all to know the respect and reverence that I have for this man, even in his death. This is the Rastafarian professor, speaker of 7 or 8 languages that would sell peanuts on Soldier Road and Prince Charles intersection on the Soldier Road side. This boy would sell the fattest bags of peanuts. And he never had a problem selling you 3 for $5 when the peanuts gone up to $2. This, brethren, is the epitome of gentleness, the epitome of community, the epitome of kindness and warmth. And he will be sorely missed by his Akeferin family, by his Bahamian family, by his Ghanaian family, by his Rastafarian family. Rest in power, King. Rest in power. Now, I see we have another caller on the line, Arlington. Let's get to that caller. Caller, you're on the clock.
Hey, good morning, Aaron. How are you doing?
I am good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Great conversation, by the way. Just wanted to add a few quick points to what you were discussing. On the micro level, what you were discussing is very critical, and I just want to add some more weight to it because it's that important. One of the major problems that we have in our country today, in our country's progress and development over almost 50 years of independence, is we do not have the micromanagement systems in place that brings about protection for all, whether it be on the owner side or whether it be on the consumer side, whether it be on the business person side, or whether it be on the person seeking the support, be a business person. We have a serious deficiency in regulations and in systems to protect all involved. And that void, I believe that void has been left done deliberately because it actually benefits those who are considered the 1% or the 3% of society because they get to continue to take advantage of the consumers as a result, without having the regulations in place to ensure that there's fairness and there's protection for all. And then again, on the micro side or the retailer side, the consumer side, it allows for a lot of loopholes to develop and to go unchecked, where we have a situation that's totally unregulated, almost like a flea market kind of a system. And so moving forward into the future, Aaron, governments need to be more deliberate, more detailed, and they need to execute better planning. Thank you for the opportunity, Aaron. God bless.
Absolutely. Thank you, Anton. Thank you for that. Listen, we take it up, you took it up to that macro level, right? If you all been in the global media this weekend and last week, you'll see there's a lot of hysteria around Michael B. Jordan, the famous African-American actor, right? And Hollywood star, he's recently caused a stir for cultural misappropriation when he applied to register the trademark Juve for use on rum, right? So Michael B. Jordan, who may have some Trini descent, you know, he may have a little Trini in him, decided that he gonna brand some rum and he gonna call it Juve. And the people in Trinidad is like, urch! Wait, buddy, how you could just take the name Juve and decide to make money from it. It's like you teething it a little bit, you know? And that made me think of the Bahamas. In fact, I saw somebody write something brilliant about it, right? And I'm going to pretend like they were all my thoughts. But they pointed out and they said, look here, you remember things like Tommy Bahama, right? I can be honest with you, the first time I saw a Tommy Bahama advertisement, I almost rip up the paper. Because I'm like, who in the world think they could just take our name, our country name, and attach it to their business just because they drop a S off the end? Is Grand Bahama not a real place? And then it took me to, and then I remember something a little closer to me, because I don't know Tommy Bahama, them. I don't buy nothing from them. I don't know anybody who is buy things from them, but I know one company named Switcher. And when I saw a company named Switcher, I almost throw my drink in the air and let it burst on the ground. But I ain't stupid. I's a Bahamian. And so I did not waste my drink because it was indeed Switcher. It was lemonade, local lemonade, right? And I say, how this boy could take a whole name? Like how you could take the name Switcher? Surely that name belongs to all of us, right? How you could just say that name belong to your company? Well, I could be honest with you, in this moment right now, I do not know the law pertaining copyright and whether he is breaching any laws, but I tell you this much, when I become Prime Minister of the Bahamas, right, I don't think we're going to allow that to happen. I don't know if you could take the word Switcher, I don't know if you could take a whole cultural experience that spans over generations, right? Over islands, over an archipelago, and claim it for your one business. I don't know if your business could have more rights than generations of Bahamians in this cultural product, right? So all of these things, from agricultural theft to the potential theft of this name, right? Juve to Switcher to Tommy Bahama. And it leads me back to this question of independence. And what are the things that belong to us collectively? And what are the things that belong to us individually? I got a text here. Good morning. I got so tired of meeting remnants of coconut theft in my yard that I had to cut down my two fruit-bearing coconut trees. It's crazy. In this town. Over the weekend, I read a story of a person who knew that the thieves had been there for the coconuts for two reasons. First of all, the coconut tree was clean. It could have been BPL doing their regular tree trimming and tree maintenance exercises. But instead, the way they knew was because the boy them decided to bog the coconut and leave the trash in the yard. That's what they did. They left the trash in the yard. And I don't know if I am mad or if I am like slightly pleased at this decision, because in case y'all didn't know it, there's a lot of money in the trash. That's why I get so frustrated with these young boy them, who act like they're so desperate to make money that we should excuse them thiefing and terrorizing people for little coconut. Because if you were that desperate, you would sit down and do the research and figure out that there's money in the trash, that waste that you leave wherever you are, that you don't care about other people and their environment. There is money in that trash as well. That's why I get so frustrated with y'all. Not because you're thieves or you're crooked or you engage in a little criminality, but because you're lazy and you're reckless and you're mindless and you don't care about other people. You are not Robin Hood. You are not robbing the rich to feed the poor. You ain't enlightening anybody with your with your brave actions. Here's another text. Morning, Miss Green. As soon as Anton called, I got a little upset. But look here. Look at what a great statement Anton gave. And he ain't called him by them name once. And he spoke to something that is real. We need systems and regulatory frameworks, because the people who are putting in the effort and doing the work, they're suffering. Because the systems that they rely on are breaking down, right? And it's every system at every stage in the process, they breaking down. But at the very least, we could start with regulatory frameworks, right? Because capitalism, it ain't really what we think it is. It's not aimed or suited to help us, and it ain't helping us. Another text, Ms. Green, how you feel about a transgender person competing in Olympic weightlifting? Do you think it is fair, biological male versus biological female? I don't think so. Okay, I'm just going to answer this because you sent it. Here's what is to note. They have strict hormone testing for athletes at this level, right? So when I first encountered the issue, I had the very same question you had. I was very concerned. I'm not upset that you asked the question. I'm going to tell you what the answer is. The answer is this. To be able to compete as what we call a trans athlete, you have to align, or you have to fit a stringent number of tests. So your hormones and your numbers, like your testosterone and your estrogen numbers, have to fall within a category for you to qualify to be able to compete. It's the same thing that Caster Semaya, anyway, my sister, forgive me for mispronouncing your name, suffered from South Africa in the Olympics, where they determined that she is not a biological female because of some chromosomes and hormones and being born intersex. So they wouldn't let her compete as a woman. Well, in the reverse, right, they use that same testing and criteria to determine whether you are allowed to compete. So I appreciate the question. I appreciate where the concern is coming from. But if you delve into the science and medicine related and the protocols of sporting at that level, you will see that there are frameworks in place to ensure fairness in the sport. Let's get another text here. Y'all just realized the Coconut Boys is Chiefs. No, we ain't just realized the Coconut Boys is Chiefs. Just the same way we ain't just realized that Plenty Bahamians is Chiefs. Or we didn't just realize that the country is built on what I like to call crookedness. Because it's not illegal, right? Because it ain't in the books illegal. It's crookedness. Well, you want to sit here right now and say, oh, the drug dealers. Oh, the drug dealers are the root of all our problems. But you don't want to go back to the wrecking. You don't want to go back to the rum running. You don't want to go back to the pirates. Right? You don't want to go back to any of that history. We want to start right here. Yes, a lot of the Coconut Boys are having a problem procuring coconuts properly. Here's what I am saying. Let's not just stop the selling of coconuts or the Coconut Boys. Let's come together and work something out. Here's a quick idea for a model. We got the National Association of, we have the National Neighborhood Watch Council. Maybe we could use that existing structure, right, to identify the boy them who is by ask for and thief coconut. If we could get those yards cleaned regularly so the coconuts are available at a spot in the community, put a nominal price on it. Let's set a national price for coconuts. Y'all stop trying to sell people coconut for $1 and $2. It's coconut. Anyway, Arlington, we got a caller on the line. Hey, caller, you're on the clock.
Hey, morning, Aaron. How you doing?
I am good, thank you. How you do?
And how the rock? You going from the chick Chinese to the rock one? At least the rock ones got some sort of heart to leave something.
Well, listen, I was upset. Initially, I was upset with the chick Chinese, like they in cahoots with the raccoons. And then
yes,
I say to myself, Aaron, you are the idiot who think they could be in cahoots.
I don't mean to change your topic, but what I really call you to say that I had an experience with something this weekend.
Yeah.
You know, and when you like 11 o'clock is curfew,
uh-huh.
Right? But I on Saturday, I had a friend. I talk about, like, you know, when you call a brethren?
Yeah.
And a brethren goes to you to the end of the road because he does the same for you. So I took it upon myself to go and assist him in his car. And, you know, I had to assist him. And on my way coming back home, the police stopped me. The police stopped me. And, you know, they proceed to put on the lights and went on the walkie-talkie to come out the car, turn the car off. So as I was coming out of the car, I put my hands out of the car. And I said, officers, I'm putting my hands out of the car. I'm opening the door. So four of them was in the car, right? Uh-huh. So when they came out of the car, they asked me my name. I gave them my name. And I told them my situation. I say all that to say this. It was a sergeant there, right? I don't want to call his name. He used his discretion. And you know, the way that he spoke to me, he didn't row, didn't make noise. You know, he said that, and then he gave me a Pacific, the car number, in case any other police stop me on my way going home, they can. So, you know, at times, Ms. Green, we bash the police. We bash the law officers of this country. But I want to say this to everyone in society. You still have some good, real good, caring, loving, kind-hearted, sensible police out there, police officers, male and female.
Yeah, man.
And I said, man, let me give you the joke, Ms. Green, the last part about it. When I gave him my name, he said, DeWitt. He said, man, he said, I know that name. So I said, man, you can run my name in the computer. See, you're not know me. He said, man, I know that name. Say, you call a talk show.
Yeah.
Say, you call a talk show. So he said he liked how I, you know, speak on behalf of the people, the less fortunate. Yeah. So I said that to everyone, let's treat the police the way we want to be treated. We have one or two bad officers out there, but don't try to label all of them alike, because some of them are real kind-hearted and some real, you know, loving persons, just like me and you.
Yeah.
They're the same thing. They're humans. The only thing is between them and us is that they have to do a job. I'm talking about a stressful job, because you're dealing with different people from different races and different mentalities of people. So, you know, let's give the police them a little love, man. You know the bad said, well, such is life.
Man,
the good said, let's show them love. Have a good day, Ms. Green.
Yeah, man, thank you. And what a way to close out the show, right? To remind us that the majority of officers are good officers.
You have a blessed day, Aaron.
Have a blessed day, too.
All right.
And one of the greatest issues those officers face is being in a system that is not functioning properly, right? And so we got
to
be we have to be more critical, right, when we are talking about or assessing police behavior, police services. Thank you so much, DeWitt. And these are the conversations we need to be having leading up to independence. Who are we honoring? Why are we honoring them, right? Are we only going to be honoring politicians again this year? Are we honoring essential workers? Do we know who the essential workers are? 3/4 of the list better be Abaco and Grand Bahama people, right? These are the conversations. Do we understand why we matter the police? Do we understand what the problems are? What are the regulatory frameworks they need to put in place to help them do their job better? These are the questions. Who the place belong to? As I was driving past one of my neighbor's house and I looked on the ground and I saw the mango that went from my wrist to my elbow, I almost unlatched my seatbelt and roll out my car like the police did in that little WhatsApp video the other day and scoop up that mango. And I had to ask myself, Aaron, did you put this mango here? Did you have anything to do with it? Even if you believe God put the mango right there for you, should you really take it? Is this the gift that you get today? And I had to remind myself, no, it ain't for me, because I have my own mango tree and that's the gift God gave me today. Right? These are the questions we got to ask ourselves and each other as we approach independence. I see we're running out of time. And the man has just walked in the building. It's 11 o'clock. That means it's time for Levon Miller and Unleashed. I've had a great day. I hope you've had a great day. I will see you tomorrow for some more exciting conversation on The Clock with Aaron Green on 96.9 FM. Have a great day, Bahamas.